Welcome to the Come to the Table podcast, a place where real women have real conversations with and about a real God. Now grab a cup of coffee and join Melissa, Amanda, and their friends at the table.
Well, welcome to Come to the Table. This is episode 10. We've been talking about finishing strong. I'd like to open us up in a word of prayer before we dive into our topic for the month. Dear Heavenly Father God, we come before you, God, and we humble our hearts. We ask that you would open our minds and bless our speech unto you, God, that I'm so excited to dive into your word and just the message that you've given us of finishing this year strong, and we're excited as we start this new year and we look forward to new beginnings. We just thank you that you've walked beside us through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. So over the last month, we've talked about a few different topics, four different topics under this finishing strong. We started with the starting line. And what God really showed me in that was, it doesn't matter where you've been, your past, it doesn't matter. It's all about where you're going. And so we have this life, we live here on earth, but it's going to go on after this body fails and after we leave here. And we're going to end up in one of two places, either eternally separated from God or eternally in the presence of God. And so it matters where we're going. And it matters also, what are we doing about that right now? Since our past doesn't matter, matters where we're going, but what are we doing about that right now? God is in the business of new beginnings and fresh starts, and praise God for that. So like this new year that we're in, we get another crack at it. So I'm excited for that. We also talked about unmet expectations, and I was thinking over this Christmas season, you know, I have a handful of kids, but one of them asked me somebody want for Christmas, and he said, anything, whatever you give me, Mom, is great, it's all good. And then I had another kiddo who is just getting into photography and was like, anything photography, that's what I want for Christmas. And then my youngest child was like, I want a Fitbit. That was it. And so we're talking about unmet expectations, I was thinking about how it was so easy for me to shop for the one kid that was like, whatever, give me anything. I had all the freedom in the world to move around, and I didn't have any fear of the disappointment and like none of that. His expectation was anything, so I could easily meet that. And then with my other son, it was like, okay, as long as I bought something photography, then we were good. But with my youngest, that was like a Fitbit. If I didn't buy that Fitbit, that was going to be a crazy adventure. So, but how funny, I was thinking about how we relate to God and how sometimes I'm the one kid and I'm like, whatever, God, whatever you do is going to be better than anything I could come up with. Or sometimes I'm, as long as you allow me to serve in Come to the Table or on worship team, or as long as all I have to do is bake a casserole or cookies, then we're good. Or sometimes I'm like, no, God, as long as we do it on Tuesdays and you only ask me to help out between the hours of 2 to 4 p.m., that works great for me. And how we limit what God can do in our lives.
I am your vessel, as long as you do what I ask you to do.
right. We're so held on to the result that, or our expectation. And so I'm excited to hear all the unmet expectation things, but just with that perspective where I was like, am I the one saying whatever, God? Mm-hmm. Not most of the time. So I want to be that more. And then we talked about, what race are you running? And that conversation started with the idea of all the different races that we run, like the rat race, the daily grind, keeping up with the Joneses, climbing the ladder, survival of the fittest. And this conversation has really exploded from those ideas to something more personal over the month. So I'm really excited to dive into that one. And then last on Tuesday, we talked about moving forward with God. And, you know, we talk about the things that trip us up, that get us down, that distract us, that get us off course or slow us down. But the key is, I think, in that is to look at these things and to talk about these things from a perspective of moving forward. Like, it's okay that these things happen, but it's not okay to stay in these things. We always have to be looking for moving forward. So I am excited for us to come together and have this conversation. Does anybody want to dive in and talk about any of these topics that we've talked about all month?
Well, I think this month I really started out just feeling discouraged. And I think it kind of goes like, what race are we running, or where are we starting? And sometimes I think that it isn't, you know, like I get stuck in looking at the past, you know, focusing on the past. And I know that the enemy definitely keeps me there. Like, you know, if I'm feeling joy, I feel like there's a whisper, like he's got some demon sitting on my shoulder, like, you did this, you can't move forward, you know, and so I think that, you know, when you were talking about how we, God looks forward, he's moving us forward every morning. He's given us the night to end this day. And I feel like that in itself, you know, I think in Romans it talks about how we learn about God through his creation and the things that happen in creation. And I just love that there's a day that ends every single day. The night comes and the next day is a new one that we can move forward. And I don't know, I just was thinking about that as
Scripture says his mercies are new every morning.
Yes, you know, and it's, I mean, we don't have to look back. You know, Jesus took care of it so that we don't have to. So,
I think I was with you. I think, you know, just this whole year, it's really easy to be discouraged. And it's, I think anytime you look at the news or anything like that, it's just, like, I haven't watched the news since like April, because I'm like, it's depressing. And in coming back into the church building, it's been discouraging because, you know, there's people that are stuck at home and can't come back to church physically. And so that's discouraging because you feel like you're failing those people. But then also, you know, there's no one pulling the line. You know, before COVID, it was like there was a ton of us, and now there's like, you know, so it's really easy even in ministry to get discouraged. And I think it's the same just across the board in churches everywhere, that, you know, it's a very easy time to be discouraged. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where that, you know, what race are you running came out of, because I think a lot of times, and we talked a little bit about this in last month's episode, that like when you struggle, it's almost like we can't say this is hard or this sucks, because it's almost admitting that you don't trust that God has a plan. And we all know God has a plan, but that still in the moment doesn't make it any easier to go through the struggle. And to, you know, it doesn't mean that when you accept Christ, automatically you're not discouraged anymore and your whole life is full of joy and wonderment, you know. But you know,
it's just not at every moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what God was really showing me this month was, you know, what are the things that you feel like this is your race you should be running and you're being discouraged, because I'm trying to show you this is not your line to toe. You are meant to be doing something else. And you know, on the flip side of that, we can't just be like, oh, I feel discouraged, God must not want me to do this, because sometimes he asks you to walk through the hard stuff in order to grow you. And so having that discernment, and I think that only comes if you're in that right relationship with him. And, you know, there's all those habits, you know, the daily quiet time, being in your word every day, praying, having people around you that'll hold you accountable, you know, and be able to, you know, talk to someone and work stuff out with them without, you know, having it, you know, go to either an ungodly place, or, you know, have them be like, well, you know, where's your faith? Where, you know,
right. So. Finding those people that are on the outside of the pit. Like if you're in the pit, you don't need the person who's in the pit right next to you. Yeah. You know, you're both like, well, we're stuck here, you know. But coming together to find that person who's willing to reach their hand down into the pit and pull you up, mm-hmm. you know, and help you in that way.
And I think it is, you know, a good point you make, Amanda, when you have to be able to be disciplined a lot of times during these discouraging times, because it's easy to just go, oh, I'm going to crawl back in bed and put the covers over my head. And I, like I was saying in my, you know, when I was, the week I did the devotional, I was like, I don't even feel like finishing sometimes. I just want to lay down and put my foot up and be like, Jesus, when you return, can you just drag me along with you, yeah. you know? And I noticed myself, like when I get in those discouraging times, I really tend to like have to force myself to be disciplined to the habits of reading the word, of praying, you know, of reaching out to people who will hold me accountable, because honestly, I just want to just go into myself and kind of give up. And without those habits and of doing those things diligently, it's easy to stay in that place of discouragement.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I really thought a lot about like through this time of COVID and then like the Israelites in the desert, and you know how easily discouraged they got and how easily they forgot what path they were supposed to take, and like what should have been just like a couple weeks long journey to come 40 years, because God's like, well, if you're not getting it, so let's just start over. But like, not that, I mean, we don't know what God is doing through COVID, so I'm not in no way trying to say God is disciplining the world through COVID. I mean, he very well could be, but like what God was showing me is like those people set out, they're like, okay, this is going to be a couple week long trip. And if you look at the beginning of COVID, it was like, okay, 2 weeks, we're going to stay in our homes and we're going to be isolated. And, you know, we're not going to go to work. We're not going to go to church. And, you know, in like a month, this will all blow over. And, you know, here we are coming up on a year here soon. And we're still in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And what God kind of showed me through that was, the Israelites needed those people who were so focused on what God wanted. They needed Moses. They needed Aaron. They needed those men to be like, what are you doing? They needed Joshua. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's parts of Exodus where it says, like, Moses had them tie tassels around the bottoms of their clothes, so when they walked, the tassels would swish. And so as you're walking through the desert for 40 years, you see these tassels swish, and it's like a constant reminder, like, God is here. He has a plan. But I mean, you think of how almost like comical it is that they would forget that God was there. I mean, they followed a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire. Like, how do you forget?
Wide and
yeah.
On dry ground, through walls of water. Like, you don't think you'd forget that.
You would think that they would, you know, but how easily they went to like, we should have all just died in Egypt. This is horrible. And, you know, and all yeah. of this stuff. And how easily they go back to that place. And you think like, man, I would have never done that because I saw these wonders of God. But then if you think, what wonders have we seen through COVID? What wonders, wonderful things God has done in your family's life and in your life? And we're just like, you should have just let us die. You know? Like, it's so easy to get sucked back there. And I don't know, I found a lot of just kind of like God just saying, nothing is new.
Right.
Nothing is new. People have done this over and over and over again for as long as there have been people, and you're not special. Your life is not so special that you should be free of this trouble.
Yeah, I that is something true, because God kept reminding me of Ecclesiastes. Like, nothing's new under the sun.
No.
You know, like, we think that we are experiencing something that, you know, no one else has experienced, and or if there's something special about what we are experiencing, and nothing is new. And we don't seem to learn, just like the Israelites, 40 years it takes them. I feel like that too, you know, when I look back and I'm feeling sorry for myself, but I think you made a good point that it's not a lack of faith. Like, I trust God, I mm-hmm. trust what he's doing, but sometimes I'm like, could you hurry up and get me to the end? Like, I don't want to do the 40 years, I just want to get to the promised land right now would be great, you know.
Mm-hmm. Were you the kid, like, that skipped to the end of the book?
Yes. I started, when I read a magazine, I start at the back.
Yeah. So, right. And backwards. Okay, I know where we're going. Yeah. But, you know, Bob's last sermon, he brought up a point, and he said, do you think that your desire for your life is better than God's desire for your life? And, you know, we all want to off the cuff be like, well, of course God's desire is better. But that one really struck me, where how much of my plan for my life, the things that I have planned, the things that I want to do, the desires, like if I'm going to map out my next, where do I want to be in 5 years? What is that going to look like? What are the steps I'm going to take for that? And is that race that I'm running the one that God has called me to? So taking a look at that and being really able to just put it all out, like whatever it is you're doing, you know, in your home, in your ministry, at your job, are these the things that God has called you to? You know, I went back into an industry that I had grown up in the work environment, and God convicted me. I haven't called you back to this industry. Like, you need to step away from that. And it was like, it took 3 years of going through it and getting frustrated and being like, no, this is the race I'm running, to realize I'm not running this race. This is not a race I'm supposed to be running. I should not be here. This is not God's call on my life. I need to step away. That it's not that God's going to ask everybody to give up jobs or places they're living or whatever, but he could. He very, very well could. And last year for me was very much a kind of a rubber hits the road year of where, with everything shutting down and people taking stands on what their beliefs are, whether they were political, social, it doesn't matter. Everybody seemed like they were taking a stand on something, and then being a Christian amongst all of that. And you go, okay, you know, my natural desire is I'm a protester. I'm going to stand up and scream things I probably shouldn't, you know, from every rooftop for anybody who wants to hear my opinion. I'm going to give it to you. That's my natural propensity. But, you know, I can't just do that. Like, you really have to be like, okay, God, what are you calling me to? If you're calling me to that, I'm going to do it. But if you're not, I really need to learn how, where does that fit in? And I think a lot of time, and I think in a lot of the conversations I've had with women or just people in general, everybody has this sense of kind of reevaluating who they are, what they stand for, what they don't, stuff that didn't serve them well. They're like, well, we need to get rid of that. Or finding out they had new likes, hobbies, desires, you know. I've seen a lot of that come out of this, that people are emerging into, like, I decided I'm going to open that business that I've been thinking about for 30 years, you know, those kind of things. For me, I was really holding on to that identity of whose I am versus who I am. And understanding that, you know, what is the race we're running as a connection point, as a conduit of the kingdom of God? And so I end up in Genesis, you know, for some reason I always end up, I'm just loving the book of Genesis though. You know, and just that creation story of how God formed Adam out of the earth, out of the dirt, out of that created particles and all of that that he had breathed into existence, spoken into existence, and then he formed Adam. And like that word is like squeezed and molded. And so can you picture like God's fingerprints? Like if you ever molded with clay, and like there's just these fingerprints. And so Adam starts out his life, you know, and then God breathes life into him. So we have from the earth and then from spirit. And you have this connection point within Adam. Mm-hmm. And Adam is like one hand to God, so one hand up in the air and one hand to earth. He can relate to both. Mm-hmm. He's made from the earth and he's connected to God because God breathed life into him. And then Adam let go of God's hand. And we've spent the rest of the story trying to reconnect connect in some way, shape, or form. And then, you know, we just celebrated Christmas, so enter Jesus, who is born from man, you know, out of Mary. He's born of this earth, so he can connect to it. But he's also fully God. And so he's that connection piece. And there was a verse in Peter that like jumped out of the Bible. Like, I love when they're in common books. Like, if you get to like Zephaniah, which for many years of my life, I did not even know was, somebody told me that was a book of the Bible. And I was like, I've never heard of that. And I memorized them all in a song. Like, I'm going through this Genesis, Exodus, you know, going through the whole song that I learned in Christian school, going, I've never heard of the book of Zephaniah. You show it to me, right? And I had to go find a Bible so that they could show me the book of Zephaniah. And I'm like, so, but when it's in like Peter, you know, we should know that. But it says, in his body, he took our sins to the cross. And I never had really seen this as in his body. So his body, his flesh, was what was born. You know, Adam, God took the earth and he formed it. And from Adam to Mary, you know, that body, that physical body, that's what Christ took to the cross, the body. But he was still fully God. And so he's that connector. He was that connection piece. And that's what we are when we come into, when this body, this physical body, comes into connection with that spiritual relationship with God. We become that connector and that conduit. And so how are we, that was a long story, I'm sorry, but how are we as conduits, as a connection point, as a meeting place for the world to come into contact with God? How are we, like, that's what God wants to move forward. And so even in our yuck and our mess and our struggle and our, when we are in our sinful nature and our, I'm screaming, you know, in the parking lot, you know, the thing, my political opinion, because that's what I do, I don't just tell it to my friends, I scream it in parking lots. And my husband's like, would you please be quiet? Just put the mask on and let's go to dinner. And so, you know, when those things happen, you know, how are we, because you said something earlier, and I guess this is the point that I'm trying to get to, was discouragement is not lack of faith. Like, we're here, we're in this world, we're not of the world, and how do we rationalize that, work that out to where, our discouragement or our struggles or the places where we stumble, that's not lack of faith, it's not, we're not doing a disservice, there's not, it's moments and opportunities to show the world what it looks like to get back up, to move forward, to be forgiven, you know, to show grace.
And also just to maintain trust, because I was thinking about David and how when he was running from Saul and Saul's trying to kill him, you know, he was discouraged a lot. Like, a lot of the Psalms, you know, say, show his discouragement. Yeah. Like, I was reading Psalm 6 and he says, my soul is deep in anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Mm-hmm. You know, there's times where we feel that way, but he still knew that God was in control, but he's just like, Lord, you know, how long am I going to have to do this? It's hard. It's grueling. And you know, when I was struggling this month, basically God brought me around full circle, you know, and because I had started out back in April where God was talking to me about being essential, and he just brought me back around to this is what it means to be essential. That you have to experience the discouragement that everyone else is experiencing. Just like Jesus came here as a human being and he had to experience all that we experience. But then at the end, you need to bring that around to that faith and to the knowledge of Christ to share that with other people. Because that's really the whole point. That's the reason why we're here. And to show Christ through the discouragement, to give people hope that, you know, Jesus loves you. He wants a God wants this relationship with you. If we don't get back there, then we're missing that point. And that is where our faith gets lost, I think, if we stay there. And then that alone just made me go, okay, I got to get up. I got to keep going, because I'm running the wrong race, right? I'm focusing on the wrong things. I'm focusing on my comforts or my political views. I mean, I got some, you know, I'm on this, so I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, and God showed me so much, like, that's, you guys spend so much time focusing on the mm-hmm. wrong things, focusing on what side you're on, thinking that that's what I'm thinking. Right. Like, we're trying to think like God thinks. Like, well, obviously, if you're a Christian, you have to think like this because God wouldn't think like that. And instead, he's like, you're missing it. You're missing the point. You need to share my love with people. And when you're on your, you know, on your political rant, you're not sharing any love. You know, that's the whole point. We couldn't follow the rules. So, you know, if that's like, if we're on a certain side, we're saying, well, this is the rule. This is the way you should believe in order to be right. Well, if we could be right and righteous, then we wouldn't need Jesus. So,
and the people who focused on that were the ones who hung Jesus on the cross.
Right. And so bringing it around full circle to that, like, the essential piece is sharing Christ with others, sharing love, not sharing your opinion.
Right. Yeah. That made me think. So I saw a friend of mine on Facebook posted this, and it's a quote, but it's just initials. So, like, I even tried to Google who said it, and I can't find it. So I'm like, whatever. But it says, I don't want smooth sailing. I want a rainstorm. Ordinary is something we should all be running from.
Yeah.
And it's that ordinary, what is ordinary in the world? Right now, it's that, you know, you choose a hill to die on, and that's, you know, you're going to stand there and you're going to prove your point.
And
you're, yeah. And, you know, and we give up easily. I mean, what are the things that are ordinary in this world? We should be running from those things, and we should be embracing the rainstorms. We should be embracing the things that make us struggle, because in that we find our need for God.
Right.
and our need for a savior. And that's what we should be embracing. And through those things is how we grow. And we should be striving to be different from this world.
Yeah.
Look totally different. And that goes back to that. I love the expectation picture. Okay, God, whatever you have today, you know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be above and beyond okay. And not in that sense of like it's all, you know, rainbows and roses, but wherever you lead me, even into a fiery furnace, even onto the cross, even onto, you know, because even, I mean, just that picture of Jesus, you know, his body was crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but he rose again and he is exalted and he is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So even if this body goes to, you know, the worst possible scenario that you could possibly think you'd have to walk through. Even if God calls you to walk through that, you know, even if it takes this life, that moment that this life is taken, if you're saved, you're in the presence, fully presence of God, you know, and that's just amazing.
Well, when you were talking about that, you know, about being like completely open and like, okay, God, whatever you have for me, like I found myself at times in life having this conversation with God. I remember when I wanted to get a promotion at work. And I was like, I really want this. And God's like, do you want this bad enough to get this if it's not my plan? And I started being like, well, let's talk about what the consequences
are. Like. Let's talk about why can't your plan be this?
Yeah, what will I be giving up? Because I might be willing to give up certain things, but not that. And he's like, really? You know, so you're trying to negotiate with me of what the consequences will be? But, you know, being open and available, regardless of whatever his consequences are, like getting to that place, I think, and not just setting these conditions of like, well, you're the potter, but I want to make sure that I'm going to be like the china. I don't want to be the common cup, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we are earthen vessels, right? So you bring that up. Like God is the potter. We are these earthen vessels. Gold. So we all want to be gold. We all want to be silver. We all want to be platinum. Okay. The Bible says that the streets in heaven are paved with gold. I don't see anybody running out digging up some asphalt, taking it to the love of their life and saying, would you marry me? Or yeah. being like, I want to be like carrying around. We're not buying and trading and selling with the asphalt on the street. Like that is, to us, the stuff that we drive on and we walk in is of no... We don't give value. It a second. That's what yeah. I don't know value yeah. that. I'm not paying my house payment with the asphalt on the street. But if you gave me gold, I'd be like, I'm trading that in yeah. and I need to get some investment.
Which is hilarious because it says out of dust. Yeah. We were, you know. like,
yeah. yeah. And so, yeah, you know, so what if you're the cup on the shelf that's gold or you're the pretty plate that's silver lined or what? Or if you're the clay pot, it's all earth. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. all earth.
Well, and I feel like one of the things, like this month, being lukewarm, mm-hmm. you know, God is going to spit you out. And I feel like that's what God really showed me through this whole thing. He's like, you want to have all these comforts of the earth, and then you want to still have this relationship with me. And you've become lukewarm. Mm-hmm. And that was a real ouch to me, because I don't want to be lukewarm, you know, right. like I want to... Like, I love God. I want to have that passion for Him. But I found myself, as we've had to give up things during this time of COVID, realizing that I have a lot of passions for other things that I just enjoy. And so I found myself complaining a lot over this mm-hmm. past year. Well, I can't do this, and we can't do that. And you know, God's like, I haven't really asked you to give up anything really big yet, you know?
Yeah.
And you're being lukewarm. Your faith is... at a place of where you want to use me as an ingredient in your life. That's one of the things yeah. that I think I shared with you ladies about how God was like, I'm not an ingredient.
Right.
I'm the source. You know, yeah. I'm the baker. I'm right. not the chocolate chips.
Yep. Right.
And
exactly.
That's what we want sometimes. Yeah. It's like we're looking for God to be the ribbon on the package. Right. The, I like the chocolate chips and the cookies. Mm-hmm. Like we're just like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to yeah. do this. I'm going to sprinkle a little God on there and it's going to be great.
Right.
We got to be careful of that. And then on the opposite end of that, when you're talking about this lukewarm, is that we end up stuck. Like then we don't do anything. So how many of us are sitting there not doing anything and expecting God to move or to have some or put us where we need to be or whatever, you know? And I just think of, you talked earlier about, like, you know, nature, like if we just, even just this created world, you know, that if we didn't cry out, the rocks would. Mm-hmm. And God created this and it all glorifies and magnifies Him. And then, like, we studied, you know, the Newton's laws of motion and stuff last year, and it was, you know, an object in motion stays in motion and was acted upon mm-hmm. by another force, and then an object at rest stays at rest. So you're going to stay at rest
yeah.
unless acted upon, you know, something X, Y. So some science person is going to be like, you know, I don't have those exactly right. Well,
that's true. Like, that's
it's
so
been
true.
A long time since I was in school, but, like, this whole redirecting, you know, just get moving. God will redirect you, but He's not going to redirect you if you're not going anywhere. You've got to be going yeah. somewhere to be redirected.
Well, and I think that kind of brings us to our last point is, like, moving forward yeah, with God. Yeah. Because, like, we could sit here and talk about all this all day long, but then it's like, okay, that's great and wonderful. Now what do I do with
right.
it? And
right.
and it's that you have to take a step.
Yeah.
God is not going to – I think of, like – when my daughter was first learning how to swim and she like finally was like, okay, I'm going to jump off the diving board. And those first few times it was like, we would get up and we'd walk to the end and she'd put her little toes over the edge. And like my husband would be in the water and be like, I'm going to catch you. Like I'm right here. But she didn't have that faith to jump. And,
I can't catch you if you don't
yeah, and God isn't going to be, because my oldest son got annoyed because, you know, him and his friends are doing flips and they're super cool. And so, you know, this annoying little sister won't get off the diving board. And so he walked up and he's just like, Dad's there, just go. And like pushed her. And like, God isn't the big brother who's going to just shove you in the deep end. He's that dad waiting there like, I'm here and I will help you through this, but you have to have that faith enough to right. jump. And in order to run our race, I mean, it would be stupid to think I'm going to win a race, but I'm not ever going to start. That gun goes off and I'm just going to sit here and be like, okay, God, I'm ready for my ribbon now. Yeah. Like, you have to actually run the race.
I run a lot of marathons on my couch, I just want to say. Yeah, I'm going to finish it someday, but I've never gotten off the couch. So, yeah, it's not
going to happen. And I think of Joseph, of, you know, he had a lot of struggles, but he ran his race well. And his race didn't always go the path that he thought it would. I mean, growing up, he was kind of the favorite son. So, I mean, you can't tell me at home with his dad, he really had a lot of struggle. I mean, yes, his brothers hated him. But, I mean, anyone who has siblings, it doesn't matter how cushy of a life you live. You and your siblings don't get along with each other. And so he had that struggle. But, I mean, really, honestly, if it says that he was favored by his dad, he wasn't given the crappy chores. You know, and to go from that to then being a slave, he could have gotten discouraged and just said, I'm just going to sit down here and just wait for God just to take me home. Instead, he, if this is the race God has for me, I'm going to be the best slave that there is, you know, and he ended up, you know, going and being an advisor to, you know, the Pharaoh.
Yeah. The point of where he actually told his brothers, like, what he intended for bad, God used for good. And to get to that point, that's finishing strong. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, to get to the point of where you can even forgive those who intentionally came against you, to say, God had this all planned out, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't even need to feel guilty. You don't need to feel bad. I'm not going to kill you. Because God had this planned out, and my life is way better, and because of His glory, I guess.
Right. So if I'm the bland earthen pot in the back of the china cabinet, you know, I'm gonna be the best bland earthen pot that, you know.
Well, you're probably gonna get used because I
once a year for a flower or two.
Yeah, like it's almost better to be the common.
Yeah,
because you're used daily.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to just be pulled out at the holidays. Mm-hmm. I want it to be used daily.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. God is not common. No. You know, and yeah, it's just yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Any final points? Anybody has to?
I don't know. I think I just want to encourage, you know, all the ladies listening here and that. To be discouraged doesn't mean you don't have faith. Mm-hmm. And when you're struggling, most likely, I actually believe that no matter what, when you're struggling, God always has a purpose in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if we made bad decisions, like there's always a purpose in everything that's happening in our life. But God wants to take it somewhere awesome. And I think that having that hope and continuing to have that hope, even though things look bleak, is just so crucial. And how do you get to that place of hope?
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, because this is kind of where God has brought me this month, is not letting everyone else's lukewarm make me lukewarm. Mm-hmm. You know, because I definitely got to a place where it's like, well, if no one else cares, why do I care? Mm-hmm. If no one else, you know, wants to, you know, give God their best in this situation, why am I killing myself to make this happen? And what God showed me was, well, because I asked you to.
Right.
Maybe I didn't ask them to. I asked you to.
Right. And then for me, I'd want to wrap up with, you know, God is all-knowing, and God knows each and every one of us. He, you know, He knows us. But He wants us to know Him more. And so you might know God as your provider. You might have walked through a struggle or a journey or a path or a time in your race where you learned that He was your provider. But do you know Him as a father? And we think sometimes that, okay, I'm saved and I'm a Christian and now I need to be this all-knowing, perfect, you know. But no, walk with God and learn who He is and get to know Him. And do that by moving forward with God.
Mm-hmm.
And see what do you want me to know about you today? What do you want to go and do today for the out to the world? And yeah, have your expectations be broad rather than holding on so tightly. So that would be my encouragement, would be get to know God in a new way in this new year. Get to know God in a new way that you've not experienced Him on a deep level. And go forward, move forward with God.
And I think, you know, getting into your word, I think so many times we let our Bibles grow dusty because, okay, I'm listening to this podcast or I'm, you know, I go to church on Sunday or, you know, my little Bible app will give me my verse, you know, it'll even notify me.
Are you? And then I'm on Facebook and then I'm on email and I read the Bible even though all I did was a
And so, I mean, it's really easy to get to that. And I don't know. There's something for me about having the pages in my fingers and actually turning the pages. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Bible app. I actually use both in tandem because I absorb it better if like I'm reading it and then I have the app read it to me. So I'm reading along with it. But I think, you know, if you're discouraged and you're having a hard time finishing strong, what God showed me when I got to that place was like, how are you seeking me in my word? Like, you know, and so that's when I really was like, okay, who were the people that saw the direction they needed to? I mean, like, how discouraged was Moses? Like, okay, God, you called me to lead these people. I said, you know, I struggle with this. I'm not a great speaker. And God's like, nope, this is you. It's you. God talks to you through a burning bush. You watch, you go appear before Pharaoh and you watch all these plagues happen. You know, you stand up and you raise your arms and the Red Sea parts and you're like, okay, God is moving. We're so excited. And then the people are like, oh, you left us here. So we just built this cow to worship.
You're gone for, you know, 30 days. You come back and you're like, what the heck happened here? Yeah, they have this big, they all took like the fillings out of it. Threw them into the bag.
Yeah, exactly. And so I found comfort in knowing my discouragement is not new. There's, you know, my life is not special. Everyone has struggled with whatever it is you're struggling with. There's someone in scripture that struggled with it. And that's why God gave us his word, is to show us like, I was here in this time, I'm here with you now. And just dig into your word and, you know, whatever it is that you're struggling with, there's, you know, there's a story to go along with it and really dive into that and you know, go deeper with it. I know for us, you know, we talked about, you know, having like a historical context Bible and you know, looking at commentary or a study Bible that helps you apply it to your life. Those are all really helpful tools because I think a lot of times we look at it like, I'm going to open my Bible and God's just going to, you know, it's going to glow all shiny and the angels are going to be like, oh, and you're going to automatically, and you're going to automatically just know.
Right.
And I mean, I spent a lot of years like begging God to help me understand. And so there are tools out there that can help you because not everyone learns the same and that's okay.
Yeah. Like you love the history part and I love to dissect the words and, you know, and of course we're blessed that Hebrew words have 50,000 meanings. Yeah.
So I guess that's just my encouragement is get into your word and really dig into it and you know, find how God is speaking to you through his word.
Yeah. And find people to talk to about it too. Find friends. I mean, you know, have discussions about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Spend time with him to get to know him because he's going to speak to you. You know, it's neat because he speaks to us all the same, but he speaks to us all the same differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a crazy phenomenon. So that's a great place to end. So get into your word, move forward with God, and be blessed. So, yeah, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to meeting with you again and coming to the table and having many more conversations with God and about God and just being real.